Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us. I am Adam alongside Kyle. And today, the timing of this episode is very interesting because we are recording, I would say, is it 48 hours? No, not even actually. I'd probably say it's 36 hours.
Yeah.
From when Hurricane Milton was right over top of you, you all were in the eye of the storm down there in the Sarasota Bradenton area, 36 hours ago, I'd say with like the core of it. Now, granted, the core, the eye itself actually creates this calming, but the front end, the back end during those hours, became very dicey for you. And Kyle, as we were talking about what to record today, we said, well, why don't we go through just some of the things that take place in and around a storm like this, as it relates to community, as it relates to leadership, as it relates to the level of thoughtfulness that people begin to express and verbalize, and how it lands for someone going through it like yourself, and maybe some lessons that we can pull through the observations of what you've experienced over the last week or so, prepping, you know, and then going through it. And I mean, Kyle, obviously, if you just want to give a quick little heads up, eye of the storm, we're obviously recording. You've got internet, you've got electricity.
Yeah. I mean, when you say the eye of the storm, we were literally in the eye of the storm. As it passed, I think it was 10 o'clock or so, something like that. We went outside and the first half of the storm had come through and it was, you know, it was bad, but it wasn't terrible. Ian was worse when it came to that. And, you know, there was a couple times where we heard things hitting the house, you know, shingles that were coming off of someone's house and hitting the gutters. And so we went outside when we had the eye of the storm over us, which is crazy to think that you're ever in that situation where you're literally looking up and you're in the eye of a hurricane and everything on that, the news at that time. And we were fortunate where we only lost power for a couple minutes. Somehow, like the grid that we're at, we were able to maintain it. And, you know, we go outside taking the dog to the bathroom. We see that we have some shingles damage. We look over and, you know, our neighbor's pool cage literally collapsed on itself. And seeing some of the damage before we go back in, and it's calm, it's quiet, and it's kind of eerie. You're hearing like the frogs, you're hearing the crickets, you're hearing animals out there, like in the middle of the storm. And then the back half of it came, and that was, pretty intense. That, the dirty side of the hurricane, it was wild. I think we had 115 mile per hour wind gusts coming at us. So, you know, we were one of the fortunate ones where we had minimal damage and very grateful to, you know, get through it the way that we did. But it's been a crazy week. There's been a lot going on ever since we knew that this was a possibility last Saturday. Finished my son's football game and literally came home and started putting up you know, neighbors and I's top level shutters because we knew we were going to have to do everyone else's. So we put ours on, and then from there on out, we were full go prepping and getting things ready.
How long is the back half, for example? So you come back in after you walk out and you're in the eye of the storm and it's calm and this eerie calm because you know it's not going to last. And yeah. You go back in, and then the back half. Now, granted, I saw Angie post that you fell asleep in the back half.
I did.
Right? So you must have been calm and composed.
I tried to be, because I knew she was freaking out.
But how long does the back half like last, like at an intensity level? Like, is it intense for like 5 hours straight?
I want to say for that, I think it was a good 3-4 hours where we had like constant. Those winds constant. And yeah, she posted it. I don't know if she put up the video of it or not, but I think she went up and she was really worried about the roof. Cause I mean, when you're in it, it literally on both sides of the storm, like sometimes you feel like the house is going to go and you feel like the roof is going to go. And granted, we're in basically a concrete fortress. It's a 2-story brick on brick filled with concrete rebar. That roof is anchored into the foundation. So it's, you know, it's strong and as safe as anywhere you're going to be, but it's crazy because you just hear that wind and you feel like that could go. And she was on the back half of the storm. She was terrified and the boys and I were asleep.
Nice.
That's a gift I have, is I can literally go anywhere. And once I get horizontal, I can close my eyes and I can sleep literally through a hurricane. But I mean, I took a magnesium pill that helps sleep. So, you know, that knew it, once we woke up, we'd be full go again. So,
well, man, you know, speak to, if you would, just, you know, these moments. You know, it's so unfortunate, I feel like, in our world today that it actually, there's really only like natural disasters that have become like bipartisan unifiers in our world, where people like, and even that is starting to like not even become that, because then people blame it on climate change, and, you know, some don't support it and some support it and others don't. So even that's becoming like a divisive hurricane. All of a sudden you got two people on different sides of that equation. I don't think we're there yet, but it almost feels like weather is like one of the only things right now that can actually unite people. And I just want you to speak to kind of what that felt like, and just all the feedback that you were getting and the people reaching out and how the community was working as one, you know, to kind of come alongside one another.
I mean, we had that conversation multiple times, like, you know, throughout the week, and last night, once everyone had kind of like gotten up, like everyone went out yesterday morning, you know, assessed, and then everyone just kind of like collapsed and fell asleep for a few hours, because like your adrenaline's rushing for the week. And then we were talking about it last night as we were sitting out kind of barbecuing and hanging out, is like, we hate that the storms happen, and it's part of where we live. And we all chose to move here knowing that that is a possibility, and we choose it and we will continue to choose it. But it's so devastating for so many people with what they lost possession wise. But then, you know, one of the things we're talking about is how much we love the community and how people rally around each other. And when you're in those moments throughout the week leading up to it, prepping, getting ready and helping people with shutters, get things inside and whatnot, is, you know, you really realize that when you put all the other things aside, whether it's politics, beliefs about whatever, people at their core are still really, really good people, and you have more in common with them than you think. And when you strip away everything else, and, you know, it's kind of one of the things that we do enjoy, is like when the internet or cell service is spotty, is like the kids are all outside riding bikes and playing all day long, and they're not on tablets. And the neighbors who you don't get the opportunity to hang out with that often or talk with because you're so busy, when everyone is focused on that, you're catching up, you're talking, you're getting to know people on a deeper level. And that's one of the things that, we love about the area. And even after Helene, you know, these were back to back storms, is people were dropping everything to go help those people out, doing everything they can to donate, to provide supplies. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it has to happen through a storm. And, you know, you never want that to happen to anyone where they're losing stuff. We've heard countless stories of businesses, friends losing homes, friends losing businesses, you know, because of flooding. And, but it brings out the best in people. It really does. And, you know, all the support, like you mentioned, people reaching out, calling, texting, calling my parents, sisters, texting them, asking how we're doing. And, you know, it's humbling, and it's great to know that people are thinking about you. And especially in those scary moments, like right up into the storm, it really helps to have people that are sending, you know, the thoughts and praying for you and reaching out. So,
and how does it help? How does it help? Like when you're on the receiving end and you're going through it and you're unsure and you're uncertain and you're nervous and you're scared and, you know, how does it help?
The first thing I think it does is it takes your mind off it for a minute. And just kind of that little bit of the interaction. And then being a person of faith, knowing that there's power in prayer and you know, and believing in that and you know, receiving that when you give it to other people, and then being willing to receive it and believe in the power of that. And just ultimately knowing that if something terrible were to happen, that you would have people there that had your back, that would be able to support you and get you through it. Gives you the confidence to, you know, stand in the decision that we made this day and to face it and know that no matter what comes, that we'll be all right at the end of it.
You know, it's, you already alluded to this earlier, and I saw your wife actually post this at one point. It's the price that you pay for paradise.
Yeah.
Man, but back-to-back storms like that, does it begin to get you to wonder, like, man, is Florida actually the place to live? Has that crossed your mind?
No. I mean, that's what we talked about last night, is like we chose it, and we choose it over and over again. And like for our region, again, like historically, even though Florida, you know, is prone to get hit, like this is the first one in 100+ years that has been like a direct hit to the area. And there's a lot of, you know, old stories and ancient stories about Indian burial grounds and things like that have protected it. And Helene was really bad flooding wise. And this one was more wind for us where we were at. But the way that we look at it is there's risk wherever you live, you know.
I don't suspect the people in Asheville, North Carolina thought they were at risk.
No. I mean, that there's always that. If you're by a river in Missouri, that could flood. You know, you could have an earthquake up there. You have fires in Colorado. It is what it is. And, you know, you have to make a decision and stay with it. And I think that's kind of like one of the things that is noticeable about the people down here and the leadership, is like when you have to make a decision, decision's made, and then you act on it. It's not something where you're on the fence or you're wishy-washy or you're second guessing. It's okay. We evaluated all options. Here's the decision. This is what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to get through it. And I think another thing that gives us confidence in the area is like knowing how many linemen were staged and prepared and ready to act to get power back to people. And like, the plan of action that's already in place before the storm gets here. And I think that's what's really great about the people of Florida that have gone through this, is just having that plan in place and then being willing to help each other out. And, you know, that's what a lot of this weekend will be, going to help people clear debris, get stuff out of their homes, take stuff down. So, you know, kind of just there for support.
You know, I think what amazes me when I look at a storm like this and see all the responses and people, linemen jumping in to serve and all that, is just the level of, which is something I think lacks in our country as a whole, you know, from a societal level. is really that compassion. And when you really kind of unpack the word compassion, you know, I'm a word nerd. I'll just say it like it is. I'm a word nerd. You know that. But 14th century, suffering with another, right? And it's like people like it for a period of time, it turns all focus off of people themselves and like really puts it towards the other people. Like waking up and thinking about other people, what are they going through? You know, Jeff and I on our call this week, cause you were kind of going through, we moved the call to Wednesday, man. We didn't share this with you, but you know, we started the morning with a prayer.
Appreciate that.
For you and Angie, you know, before we even started our meeting. And it really moves us. And, you know, there's people that naturally kind of lean that way anyways, but then I think what it does is it moves all of us society wide into a place of like compassion for other people where they actually feel the suffering of another person. And it is front of mind, but when it's front of mind in their mind about someone else, that means like their focus on themselves gets put second. You know what I mean? And I think that trait, it's really unfortunate that it requires such extreme levels to move people to that place in today's world.
Yeah.
It really is unfortunate because they can't get there on the regular. They can't get there on their own, but it requires like this major natural disaster, to do that. That just, it hurts me a little bit, but it also encourages me when I just love seeing that. And I just see how different our world is during these little pockets.
Yeah. Yeah. It brings out that it's so unfortunate that it has to happen through that, but it truly does bring out the best in the majority of people. You're always going to have outliers, people taking advantage of that, but like people just dropping everything. I was talking to a neighbor this morning and his cage is the one that collapsed on itself. And he had a friend that lives closer to the water and pretty wealthy individual who was chartering a private plane back and forth from here to North Carolina to deliver supplies, probably 20 grand a pop to be able to take a plane and deliver the supplies up there to the victims in North Carolina. He was doing that to help other people. And then when Milton hit, it took the roof off of his house and dumped 5 feet of water into his house. And like, it's crazy when stuff like that's happening. He's away helping other victims and then that happens to him. And, you know, people are going to get through it, but those are the stories that you continuously hear, whether it's someone that's chartering a plane to go help other people out, or it's just the people who go out and rescue people by boat, or if it's someone helping rip a drywall out is, you know, like you said, is they put their own needs to the side and they're focused on what they can do to help. Like so many people are out posting, you know, hey, if you're still without power, come to my house, come take a shower, come eat, need coffee, come over here. You need to charge your device. You need to get a hold of loved ones. Come to our house, come over here. So it's, and people are just really looking out for each other. And I think, you know, that is the relief afterwards and that comfort that a lot of people need.
Hello, this is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness. And this is today's Leadership Nugget. You don't have to try and create the perfect life to have an amazing story. Simply start with a solid direction you want to head, followed by hundreds of course corrections as you march on your journey. One way that helps me do this is to bookend my days. This helps guide me, reading at the end of the day something positive that fills my mind with the thoughts that give rest and reflection. It can be a short devotion or article that rests the soul. In the morning, begin by journaling and creating some space to reflect. Margin to imagine the day. Write those down. It will help keep crafting your destination, those important course corrections, or simply the next sprint race as you write your story. Bring patience, persistence, and courage to allow this space and permission for discovery. Now, let's jump back to the episode.
You know, it makes me throw a challenge out there for listeners. You know, we recently announced that we were doing this coach certification a few months back. We rolled that out. We had a handful of applications. We currently have 12 individuals going through it right now. That will actually get completed upcoming here in the next few days. And the fifth part of their six-part self-guided certification, the fifth part was a serving project. Ironically, yeah. It was a serving project where they essentially had to create a serving project that could actually produce impact on someone else. And there were some dynamics, or not dynamics, but some parameters on it, some guidance. But it was about serving because, man, when you enter into that life of serving, like everything changes for you. Not only does it impact them, it actually produces the win-win, as opposed to maybe you serve yourself. Okay, you may benefit, but the serving of others, now you benefit in the act of serving. They benefit in the recipient of serving. It becomes a win-win. And it's interesting. We tend to serve. And I actually wrote this out in an email the other day. I've been putting out those emails like once or twice a week where I say, yeah. Gauge, have you ever gauged your serving heart? Which is a weird question. Like, no, I haven't, sir. How do I gauge my serving heart? And I kind of wrote that there were two dynamics involved in that. One is when you serve, how much do you process the thought of what's this going to cost me? Yeah. And if that is kind of where you're living and your serving heart, then I may question if it's in the healthiest place, right? I'm going to serve. What's it going to cost me? Well, like, you know what? I actually don't want your service then. Like if that's how you're stepping into this equation, what's it going to cost me already with hesitation and reservation? Like, I don't know. Grade your serving heart. The second grading criteria is, what is the return in it for me? Okay, I'll serve, but like, and what am I getting back? What is it going to cost me on the front end? And what am I going to get back on the back end?
Right.
And in situations like this, the serving heart gets to this place where it's just like, I don't care. I just want to serve when it's extreme. But more often than not, our serving lives in that exchange of what's it going to cost me on the front end? And what's the return on the back end? And I would love for you just to wrestle with that if you're listening to this and wrestle with the grade of your servant heart. Where is it? Like, do you find yourself evaluating the cost? Do you find yourself doing it only if there's a return? I would actually add another one. Do you only do it when the struggle is significant? And this has been on my mind a lot. We have a situation up here in the North. I don't know why I say up here in the North, like we're in the Civil War era. like up here in the North while you Southerns down there deal with your problems. I have no idea why I just said that. Nonetheless, up here in my neck of the woods, there was an incident that took place recently that we have been very involved in. Long story short, you've heard me talk about this, Kyle. Friend of ours had four kids, single mom, yeah. And she was brutally murdered. They have now found the victim, or not the victim,
perpetrator.
Yeah, the perpetrator. They actually found him down in Florida. And he was the ex-husband, father of the kids. Mm. And he went in and shot her while the four kids were there hiding in the closet. He did no harm to them. And then he left and they were friends of ours, and we're sitting at a soccer game one afternoon, and we see a little thing on, you know, the little, maybe even just been a police page of like Frederick, our county, you know, like the scanning and sorts, you know, where the police activity and
yeah.
Showed a shooting nearby, like in our same district. And it was single mom, four kids. And I just looked at Samantha. I was like, make some calls, please. Like, because that sounds way too similar to our friend and it's in the same area. Like, I don't feel good about that. And then we found out that's who it was. And The kids are now with our other friend, who is essentially their godparents of sorts. Yeah. And we've been really involved since that. And I don't say that to say that we've been involved since that, but really trying to like be there with them and spending time with them and supporting and all those things. What I'm getting at is, oh my gosh, Kyle, the amount of support in this community after that happened for those, that family, for the kids has been unstinking believable. Oh, it's been incredible. They raised all this money. People doing this, doing that, offering this, offering that. And it's incredible, as it should be. As it should be. I mean, these kids' lives never going to be the same. One of the kids was 5 months old, breastfeeding. Jeez. He'll never know his mom. Never. That's terrible. It is the worst of the worst. And the community steps in. And it got me thinking maybe about a week or so ago how, man, it requires this level of struggle really to activate and move people these days. But I would actually argue struggle is all around us. It's all around us.
Everybody's going through something.
That's the extreme version. Yes, Hurricane Milton is an extreme version where people lost everything. But if you have a servant heart and those things break your heart, it shouldn't require, if you're grading your servant heart, it shouldn't require a 10 on the quote-unquote disaster scale to wake up your heart. Because the reality is there is struggle everywhere. Now, granted, struggle may be a 7. Struggle may be an 8 down the street. That family over there may be struggling, and their struggle may only be a 6, but it's a struggle. They're hurting. They're down. They're depressed. And I would actually say if you have a true servant heart, man, people say like, oh, I love how you just jumped in and act. If you've got a servant heart, you should be wanting to jump in and act all the time, because everywhere you look, people are hurting. People are struggling. And I would just ask, do you ever assess what's the cost of me serving? Do you ever assess what is the return in it for me if I serve? And are you a servant from your heart perspective that only serves when the severity of the struggle is at like a 10? And then you disregard all of it. As I'm sharing this, Kyle, what do you think? I see you're nodding your head and all that, but that's just been on my heart recently, because I love seeing these moments over the last couple of weeks of major, major issues and people just running to it. But it makes me then wonder, why does it take major to move people? Why aren't we moved by struggles that may only rate at an 8 scale? There's still struggle. People are still hurting, but we disregard that.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, we're recording a podcast. It's through technology that this message goes out. And you know, it's great because technology has made us more connected than ever, but it's also made us more disconnected than ever at the human level. And so in these moments, that's when like the true connection happens, when we step outside of that connection to get to the real connection with other human beings. And like to the challenge of serving, and when you're going through that, is really, we have a lot of coaches and teachers that listen to this, and they know. And, you know, it's almost kind of like if, you know, this can reach the people that aren't the teachers and the coaches, because in a sense, we're preaching to the choir a little bit on it, because there's so many teachers and coaches who have that servant heart that you're talking about. And they know what I'm about to say is like, when we go out and help and like later today, go on and helping people, the reward is the genuine appreciation that you can see in another human being's eyes when you help them. You know, there's a guy in my son's football team who, you know, was scared of heights and can't get up there. And I went over there, helped put the second story up. And he's like, Kyle, what can I give you? What can you do? I was like, don't give me anything. I'm not doing this for, you know, a reward or anything like that. He's like, man, I would just thank you so much. And he sent me like 5 texts, like every day, checking how we're doing, how is he doing, man, can't thank you enough. And like when you shake someone's hand or when you see it in their eyes, that genuine appreciation, that's all the reward that you need. And that's what fills you up. And like, that's what we ran on for 5 days till the storm hit. And then I crashed in the storm and just was like drained. And yesterday was drained. And then now it's like, you're on the other side of it and you have to have that strength and the energy to go out and do it again, to take stuff down, clean up, but you're fueled by that connection. And it's crazy. Again, like we're communicating this through technology, but I think the more that we step away from that and have the conversations and the human interactions, that's where you get your energy. And I know for our coaches and our teachers, that's what they draw energy from, is when they get that genuine appreciation from a student or from an athlete or from someone that recognizes what they're doing. Like, that gives them life, right? That's kind of the component of followership that we talk about, is like, that doesn't require money. And I think that's the currency of the world when you strip away everything. And that's why we choose to live down here, is to be outside and have those connections when we can, when we're not in these storms. But like, you're reminded of that. And when you experience it, it would be really tough to get away from it. And hopefully, you know, it doesn't take these things to keep happening to draw that out of people. And, you know, I think that's a challenge for all of us going forward, is to be that much more intentional with the interactions and not requiring these events to get out of your day-to-day life and have those connections.
You know, and it's just something that, you know, I've been wrestling with, you know, and challenging myself to just wanting to make sure from a serving standpoint that I am moved by people hurting and wanting to serve them, but not necessarily needing it to get to a level where it's so extreme, but like wanting to serve even prior to that. You know, there's a lyric in a song that we heard in church recently. It says like, break my heart for what breaks yours.
Yeah. Right?
Break my heart for what breaks yours. Like, man, and that there's another lyric where it's like, where the guy's singing, he's like, where did my mind go? Like, how did I get here? And he has a line in there. He's like, major accident on the interstate, but all I can think about is how I'm now late.
Yeah.
Right. Like
sometimes I always remember those stories, like, especially coming out of 9/11 and like in those moments of inconvenience, but like, it happens. I'll be driving sometimes. I'm sure you are too. Like, you'll pass an accident and maybe you're running a little bit late and you're like, man, if I was like 5 minutes earlier, that could have been me. And like, you know, the people that their mornings were interrupted and they were out on 9/11, but if they hadn't been interrupted, they would have been in the building. So
yeah. And, but even adding to that, it's like, but also the mindset of like, man, you drive by a bad accident on the highway and your heart goes to like, oh my gosh, learn how to drive. I'm late. You know what right. I mean? Like, learn how to right. drive. Like, see, oh, these accidents piss me off. They drive me crazy. You know? And I'm like, Ben, oh, they're the reason I've been sitting in 20-minute bumper to bumper. Like, man, that's where our mind goes. What about the fact that, like, man, where's the compassion?
Right.
That's, I mean, they may be sitting there on the highway, and trust me, I'm certainly no angel. Like, I'm saying, like, these are things I'm wrestling with too. You know? Like, where did it go? Like, where did it go off? Like, where did, I mean, how did it get there in some cases? And I just think the compassion that you see during the storms also serve globally, nationally, as a great reminder to try to keep the main things the main things.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Absolutely.
So, well, I'm glad you guys are good down there. And
yeah, man, appreciate
what the
it.
Alligators do during all this, man.
Yeah, Florida funny. Gators. I mean, they there's a guy that runs a sanctuary, so I follow him on Instagram, and he made a post about it. He's like, what do the animals do? And he said, like, during the storms, they'll just submerge themselves at the bottom of the body of water, and they can hold their breath for up to, like, something crazy, like 14, 15, 16 hours, something like that. and they'll ride it out. They'll go down, and like same thing, like out in the ocean, they'll go down to the depths and, you know, stick down there, let the waves do all their thing up top. And then, they'll be out afterwards. And then you get some of the videos where there's something goes in their house, and after the storm, there's a gator sitting in their house. Like, wow.
From flooding, like it flooded.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you see them on the streets. And so if they're not in the body of water, they get carried, you know.
Yeah, our friends that just moved to Florida, they posted a picture where the kids were kayaking in the front, like the cul-de-sac of the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah, you always get those videos.
So high.
Yeah. The kids are out playing in it, and you always get those Florida man videos of the dude running by the reporter in the middle of a storm trying to get attention, like giving everyone a bad rap, man. Don't do that.
But nonetheless, man, Hurricane Milton came, went. Glad you're good, man. And
appreciate it.
I know there are a lot of coaches in the Lead 'Em Up community sending you messages and things like that.
Yeah, definitely want to say thank you to all of our coaches that have sent messages and texts and just thinking about us. So again, that means a lot going through it and knowing that you have people thinking about you. So appreciate you all.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, till next time, I'm Adam. He is Kyle. On behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, we are out.